Hi everyone, Sean Paul Ellis here from the Saturday Morning Cartoons Podcast. Remember, that's morning with a U. Some quick pre-show announcements. We've got a shout-out, and then finally, what's on today's episode? Our shout-outs. So we had, from our Invader Zim, Enter the Florpus, we had Kevin Morales, or on Twitter, you might know him as, @unashamed_Kevin. We asked the question, what do you want on your Peace Day pizza? And he said, my Peace Day pizza will have meat lovers, buffalo chicken pizza, bacon pizza, cheeseburger pizza, extra cheese pizza, Hawaiian pizza, Chicago deep dish pizza, and because I can't think of any more pizzas right now, rib tips and sesame chicken toppings. This sounds disgusting and amazing at the same time. Would I eat this? 100%. Would I feel terrible afterwards? Yeah, 100%. But thank you, Kevin. We appreciate you letting us know what would be on your Peace Day pizza. Thank you. Also, from Twitter, we have Ocasio Gee, or just @Ocasio. He says, just started listening, went back and listened to the Black Panther episode. Do you guys know that @Reg Hud, or Reginald Hudland, wrote multiple Black Panther runs and served as the president of BET? Did not know that. We had a chance to actually just tweet back to them and thank Ocasio for reaching out to us and saying this. And then also Reginald Hudland just messaged saying thank you. So also thank you, Reginald Hudland. We love the animated series for Black Panther that BET did. If you haven't had an opportunity, go back and check out our episode on it. It's an amazing, amazing cartoon worth the watch. So what is actually on today's episode? Kissifer. We're talking about a cartoon called Kissifer. Oh boy. This is a listener recommendation. A listener named Ben, he called in. He told us to watch a childhood favorite of his. We will discuss a little bit more about Ben in this actual episode, and you'll get to hear what this meant to him in his own words. We love these call-in recommendations, and we have a ton of fun with them. If you are listening and say, hey, I want them to watch a very specific favorite cartoon of mine, check out our show notes for all the information, all the links. It's on all of our social media. So, Will, we enjoy Ben's recommendation today. And did Ben have a good childhood? Also, what the heck is a kissifer? All of this and more. And so now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the Collider Weekly podcast for all things animation, including news, reviews, and interviews. Coming to you all the way from a nondescript swamp on board of a paddleboat, I'll be your co-host, Sean Paul Ellis, and joining me from inside of the big top, all the way up high, performing his world-famous tightrope act, I'm joined by my co-host, Dave Trumbore. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you from all the way up here. On it, what is it? What is that at the end of the rope there? It looks a little. Is that frayed? Is that coming apart? Is that?
Is it frayed? Yeah, or are you having visions of a parent?
Is the rope frayed or am I afraid? God, that was awful.
Oh Jesus! Wow. Yeah. I like
read
it,
the notes ahead of time. I don't know.
That's fine. Why would you?
Not an improv. Improv guy. What's so funny is people out there don't know what we're talking about. We could be talking about, like, you know, Robin's origin story at this point. We could be talking about more Batman stuff.
Just Dick Grayson the hell out of it.
Yeah. Or we could be talking about a mid-80s relatively obscure kids cartoon featuring circus bears and a tragic circus accident.
I'm going to be honest with you. It could be either or. It might be a little of column A and it might be a little of column B.
It might be a version of Batman where bears play our favorite superheroes.
Ooh, Bat Bear.
I would watch that.
I'd watch the hell out of it.
What would Robin be, though? Just like Cubby?
No, like an actual Cubby? Robin, like a bird.
Just an actual Robin? Just so an actual Robin. We got rid of the bear motif
it's
that quickly.
It's in the name, though. I feel like you
it
have
is.
To
it's
do
too
it.
On the nose.
Killer Croc is a real crocodile.
That's fine.
Penguin's a real penguin. Catwoman's a real cat.
They've been animals this whole time.
Yeah. We have led right into this.
We did.
And we're in a good place.
No more Batman for the rest of the time.
Well, after our Batman Hush review, I think we could probably...
We're on pause for that for a while.
We're on pause. Well, we're not on pause from talking about tonight's cartoon, which is Kissifer. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But it turns out we have some news. We have some animation news for this week. Dave, what do we got going on?
We do. And actually, first of all, before we even get to this week's headline, I want to make a mention for our maybe new listeners out there who are listening on Collider Weekly. You may be wondering, Kissifer, is that like a new Netflix anime that I haven't heard about? No, it's not. This is what we used to do on this show all the time. When we used to watch really old, like kind of obscure cartoons that we just wanted to do for fun. And we'd review them to see if they held up to the test of time. And if not, well, we'd review them and we'd tell you what was wrong with them 30 years later. And that's what we're back to doing today. So, you know, the last few weeks, we got lucky with the calendar. We had Batman Hush. We had a pair of Netflix Nicktoons specials. So you guys can go back and listen to them.
We had She-Ra in the new episode or season of Princesses of Power.
Yep. We had an interview with Archer star Amber Nash. We had some other interviews on the way with the creators of the past two Nicktoons specials on Netflix. That was all very contemporary stuff, pretty much the week or the day that it all came out. Not so much this week. This is our old bread and butter. This is where we get to kind of let loose. We don't have to worry about too many fans out there taking us to task on anything because it's not contemporary. The wounds are not fresh. These are old, scabbed over cartoons that we get to pick apart. It's going to be good times.
I don't know. I feel like if these resonate for certain people, then we're pulling those scabs off. They're going to get real pissed off with us.
They are going to get pissed off, but that's half the
fun.
That's
fine.
So that's our internal news. So if you guys are listening, wondering what we're going to cover from this week in animation, the news is going to be the most contemporary stuff. The first thing we're going to talk about here is a new look, going back to Batman for just one second, a new look at the Harley Quinn animated series. Now, we got a behind-the-scenes look. IGN has it up on their page if you want to head over and check it out. You can probably find it on YouTube by this point as well. So there's an animated series just called Harley Quinn, I believe. And it's from the, you know, from Warner Brothers, obviously. But it's going to be the first time that Harley Quinn's got her own series. It's not a standalone movie. It's not anything else that's coming out. It's a series. We got our first look at it. Sean, first of all, buy or sell Harley Quinn the series?
I'm going to buy. I believe Harley Quinn was a character that originally came in during a series, correct?
Harley, that originally, the character that came in during Batman the Animated Series, is that
correct.
What you're asking?
Yeah.
She was original creation for TAS, yeah.
So I feel like she was an original creation during the TAS series. I feel like this is a natural segue of kind of allowing her to develop a little bit more, show a little bit more personality. They've obviously had a lot of comics that have kind of revolved around her relationship with other female villains in the Batman universe. I think there's a lot to mine there. I'd be very interested in watching it. I guess the only thing that I'm a little bit hesitant on saying yes for this is sort of the NSFW portion of this. Yeah. Why is it NSFW? Why aren't we just saying it's rated R? Like, if there's violence, because she is a violent person in a lot of these comics and cartoons, let's just say it's rated R. Let's just make it, you know, let's not give the fans an illusion that, like, there's going to be a bunch of sex in this.
Well, so I will say NSFW was from IGN, and they don't really have any say over what the actual content of the stuff
IGN.
Is. Anyway, that's just a headline grabber, and we do it all the time on Collider, so it's a fun thing for the media folks to do. But this is on DC Universe, so it's going to be on the streaming platform for DC Comics. I don't know. They have their own rules. They don't really have to abide by anything. They can just say, like, TV mature. That's it. They can age gate it if they want. I don't know if they will or not. Probably if you have a subscription, you can watch whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've had horny cartoons for hentai and for everything else for decades and decades and decades. You know, do I need a horny Harley Quinn show? Not really, but I'm sure that there's a market. I'm sure that there are people who would probably like it if they choose to go in that direction.
I mean, 100% they will. I mean, everybody, I
know.
The only reason this was listed as NSFW was because there were scenes of, like, exploding heads. So, I mean, some people are into that too, but very much sticking with kind of the weird DC humor where it's like it's dark humor, but then it's like sexually charged, and who the hell knows what this is going to look like. Right. But the casting list is out there. You've got, I never knew how to say her name. Kaylee Cuoco? Is that how you say her name?
I believe
so. I'm just going to say it like it looks. From Big
Kaylee, we hope we got this right.
Thanks for listening, Kaylee. Appreciate it. She's voicing, obviously, Harley Quinn. But you've also got Alan Tudyk doing two characters, two of my favorites. Obviously, the Joker. But he's also doing Clayface, which would be fun for him to do, too. Hopefully, it's just like a fat Joker voice. It just makes it fat. And that's his Clayface voice. I hope that's just all like, it is. Fat Joker.
Fat Joker.
Yeah. You've also got Lake Bell as Poison Ivy, Jim Rash as the Riddler. Ron Funches is King Shark, which he's going to have a blast with that.
I
just hope
King
Shark has that like giggle, has the Ron Funches giggle.
Oh, If it doesn't, then they have fucked up in this show.
I just want to see a giant shark man giggle. Like, do I have to? I mean, is that weird? Am I alone in that?
If you are listening and they don't have it, download the episodes from the DC streaming platform and then edit in Ron Funch's laugh. That's the only way that this could be a complete show.
Even if he's not in the scene, just put it in there. He's got a great giggle. You've also got JB Smoove as Frank the Plant, which I don't know what that is. I'm assuming it's a mob guy. Tony Hale as Dr. Psycho, who I've never heard of. Giancarlo Esposito as Lex Luthor. Man, this just keeps going. Christopher Maloney, Commissioner Gordon. Jacob Tremblay getting in on the bat action as Robin Damian Wayne. And Diedrich Bader? Bader or Bader? Diedrich Bader.
I thought it was Bader.
You want to go Bader? Let's go Diedrich Bader. So he's coming back to play the Dark Knight.
Bader, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, Diedrich, my boy. So he's coming back after Batman Brave and the Bold. So Brave and the Bold had a different kind of tone to it, right? It wasn't like Batman the Animated Series. It was a little less kind of self-serious, but not goofy. We'll see how this kind of plays out. I don't know the tone they're going with on this one.
I'm intrigued.
So we're going to check that one out. The other major headline in animation news this week is He-Man related. Masters of the Universe related. This one kind of came out of nowhere. It came out of last weekend, out of Anaheim, during PowerCon, which is the annual convention for all things He-Man and She-Ra. The big news this week was that Kevin Smith is going to be sort of heading up a new He-Man anime series, a limited series, or a mini-series, if you prefer that, for Netflix, called Masters of the Universe Revelation. Now, before we dig into this a little bit, what's your knee-jerk reaction to this news?
I'm a buy on this.
You're a buy on this, too?
I'm a buy on this because I know the animation house is Powerhouse Animation that's behind this. They did Castlevania.
Yep.
I really love the style, the fluidity of the battle, the action that they have. I think that they could make something really, really fun, and I'm glad that it's going to be a mini-series or a limited series in scope. I really don't need a Masters of the Universe series to go on ad nauseum. Gang, we tried with the reboot for He-Man in the 90s. Remember when instead of just having like a bare chest, he had like that gold kind of like belt across him? It looked awful. It was a weird Skeletor too. It didn't work out well then. I'm curious to kind of see what they do now. I think Kevin Smith will do a great job of writing the series. And I think that Powerhouse will do a good job of animating the series and a lot of the battle sequences and action. So I think my only hesitation is people trying to make a parallel or a comparison to the new She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, because people continue to say, as this news came out, well, it's never going to be as good, or it's going to definitely be better than She-Ra. You know what? Stay angry. And if you're angry about that comment, don't listen to our show. I don't know what to tell you. She-Ra is amazing so far.
First of all, I agree with like half of what Sean said as far as Powerhouse being amazing. They're going to deliver some awesome visuals of that. I have pretty much a guarantee. Mm-hmm. It's not the same exact team that was working on Castlevania, but it is the same studio.
Right.
So literally people just like right down the hall from each other. So with that being said, I'm very excited about that. I'm excited to see a new He-Man come back. I've got my She-Ra shirt on today because my He-Man shirt is in the wash. However, I don't know what they're going to do with this story. The Kevin Smith news for me, not super exciting. And I'll tell you why.
Really?
It's not because I don't like Kevin Smith. I like his original stuff. I was probably one of like 12 people who went to see Tusk. I don't know how many people are clamoring for like more Tusk. I like when he does original, bizarre, weird stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not as big a fan when he does adaptation of existing material. Like he's done episodes of The Flash. He's done episodes of Supergirl. For the CW, and for me, like they were fine, but a lot of that stuff kind of everything has to almost carry like a Kevin Smith tag with it, and I don't like feeling that, like unless you're a Tarantino or somebody like that who's going to put your own stamp on a material, okay, but that's not for me. I get that other people are excited, but personally I'm not. Yeah
I just really want Jay and Silent Bob to finally make it to the Masters of the Universe, I guess is what you would call it. And then also, it's a real big failure if Ron Funches' laugh is not in that series.
Now that I agree with you. That I agree with you too. As like Orko. Ron Funches as Orko would be
holy
amazing.
Holy shit.
We just cracked it.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
But here's the other thing. So part of the writing team, I think, is at least in the right place. But I'm kind of fascinated with the behind the scenes of the industry kind of stuff here too. I know not everybody is, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but if you look into the writing team, which is Rob David, he's not only the VP of Mattel TV, so honestly, like, kind of whatever he says goes for this whole thing, but he's also the head writer on DC's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe comics run, including a lot of kind of crossover ones with He-Man and Thundercats.
Ooh.
So he was the head writer, and there were other writers underneath him that handled individual titles. So obviously this dude knows his stuff. He knows the history. And what they're going to do with this limited series is pick up after the 80s series ended and tie off some maybe character arcs or battles or stories that did not have a fitting conclusion. Mm. I don't know how that's going to look or sound, but the comics kind of already lay out the groundwork for that. However, everybody else is kind of a buddy of Smith, or they've worked together in the past, or it's just, it feels very kind of like incestuous. It feels like this closed off group of writers. And on one hand, that's great, because if they've worked together before, they have a shorthand. They know how each other works. They know their strengths and weaknesses and things like that.
Right.
On the other hand, it just seems like a bunch of friends that are in the industry getting together like, hey, you want to make a He-Man thing? And that's fine. But if you invest too much in this is going to be the greatest He-Man ever, you're probably going to be disappointed. So I'm just going to reserve reservations here for a little bit, say I'm excited to see it, but I'm not super optimistic just yet.
I was going to say, I don't even know if you're a buy or a sell on this. You're right in the middle.
I'm a guy who doesn't play the stock market, so I'm just going to watch my net worth slowly decline over time because I have not invested in anything.
I'm going to put all of my Masters of the Universe figures in a shoebox under my bed. Those are the investments that I make.
Fair enough. Maybe we'll get some new toys out of it, and then I'll be excited once again.
I would be cool with that.
Or we'll just see Cringer just smoking a bong in the background of every scene.
What?
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 It's possible.
I hope not.
Who knows what we're going to get, but that's the headline news from Animation This Week. Be sure to leave your angry comments on Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
Perfect. Oh, well, as we mentioned, this is a true return to form. This is our bread and butter for Saturday morning cartoons, getting into some of these old cartoons that you may or may not have watched when you were a kid, having an opportunity to listen to you, our listeners, at your recommendations, which is exactly what we're doing today. And so we actually had Ben. He called us and recommended Kissy Fur. So let's hear from Ben in his own words. Ben, take it away.
What's up, guys? My name is Ben, and I'm a huge nostalgic cartoon guy as well. I think that you guys should review the show called Kissy Fur. It's about a little bear cub and his father who escape from the circus because they're circus bears, and they try and find a new life in a swamp with a bunch of other cubs. There's a warthog, there's a pig, there's a porcupine, there's a bunny, and there's a squirrel, and there's these two gators that are always trying to get them. It's actually really good and really fun, and it was a part of my childhood, and I loved it. So I think you guys would enjoy it. So please check out Kissy Fur. There's two seasons, and I hope it's awesome, and I hope you enjoy yourselves, and I hope you put the podcast up and include me. You have my permission to use this take. All right, guys, keep at it. You guys are doing great. Talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ben. We really appreciate you calling in, telling us why you love Kissy Fur, why this is so important to you. I love the fact that this was something that was fun and a part of your childhood. Definitely going to be digging into it tonight. Very excited.
Yeah, and honestly, I love hearing from people about individual shows or whatever it is, movies, TV shows, animation, everything that like formed a part of your childhood, and you're still super excited to talk about that again. That's why we started this show years ago, to be able to have those conversations with people and to give everybody that kind of like hit of nostalgia, like, oh, I do remember that, and oh, it does exist, and I'm not completely crazy, and there are some other weirdos out there that want to talk about it just like me. So that's why we started it. I'm glad that people are enthusiastic about it, and if you stick around, you'll hear how we feel about Kissy Fur.
Tease. A lot of you have also recommended cartoons to us over social media, as well as also comments in YouTube. Do you really want to recommend a cartoon to us? Well, then go to the bio of any of our social media accounts, click on the Linktree link. The second button is going to allow you to submit a suggestion directly to us, or you can go one step further like Ben did, and you can give us a call, 202-681-4406. That calls our cartoon hotline, and you can tell us the cartoon, who you are, and why that cartoon means so much to you. That's how Ben was included in our actual episode today. All of these notes are also in our show notes for each episode. Like Ben, if you call in, it ensures that you get the proper shout out. And the most important thing is that if you call and leave a message, we will 100% review your cartoon if we have not already discussed it on this show. Our cartoon lawyers are furious with us, and because we have to watch all of these shows, we are legally mandated that if you call and tell us what to watch, we have to do it. So please call. Turns out, Ben, you love Kissifer. You are not alone, because we asked Twitter about Kissifer, and some people also had the following to say. Carrie Perrin messaged us and said, Kissifer made me the man that I am today. Multiple exclamation points. Carrie, I've got so many things to talk to you about. I love it.
My personal favorite is from Reverend Johnny Blumpkin. It says, it was very cheesy, but a good watch. It was so popular that a line of small figures made it into Happy Meals back in the day. I wish this show was streaming, and Foofer, while we're at it. Foofer is another series that actually came from the same creator as Kissifer. So that's a great tie-in to our fun facts, which we'll get to in a little bit.
We had Hoju Colander message and said, I totally watched this. For some reason, I always thought that the dad, who's named Gus, looked like Dom DeLuise. Incidentally, I just picked up this copy of the show in storybook form today, which they actually have a children's book that is called Kissifer and His Dad, based on the actual television show, the cartoon, which is kind of crazy that today of all days, Hoju happened to be out and picked that up. What are the chances?
A trillion to one, I think. We looked them up. Our lawyers also double as accountants, and they told us that those were the odds. But yeah, we still had to cover it anyway. Pretty much everybody else who reached out to us on Twitter, weirdly, like, either kind of vaguely remembered this show, but didn't know they had a DC comic tie-in or a toy tie-in. But whether or not they had heard about it, everyone was super excited for us to cover the show tonight.
Right. We had WDW Manimal, who said, the tune from the intro, pretty rockin'. Also, the bear-driven taxi boat that splashes water on the camera, what's not to love?
What's not to love, indeed.
What's not to love? That bear ruined that camera, FYI.
It really did. That camera is very expensive.
You have to throw that away, and there is no receipt that's going to save that purchase. So, whoops. So, what about this actual show? What about Kissifer? Well, to give you a quick synopsis, we're going to turn this over to a longtime friend of the show, Bobby Anthem, and he is going to break down the synopsis of this show. So, Bobby, take it away.
This show follows the adventures of Gus and Kissifer, a father and son bear duo who have joined the circus. One day on a circus trip, the train they're riding in derails and the bears escape to a new life in the swamps of Paddle Cab County. There they protect the swamp's inhabitants from the local bumbling alligators Floyd and Jolene. Kissifer and his father use the skills they've acquired from the human world to create a boat tour business transporting other animals and their products down the river.
Awesome. Thank you, Bobby, as always. And now to give you a little bit of context before we dig into what we did and didn't like and found funny about Kissifer, Dave's going to provide us with a little bit of background about the production.
First, as always, I want to thank Bobby for the intro, and I'd like to say again, as always, he'd make a great cartoon, maybe even a cartoon bear. Bobby, if you want to be a bear, let us know. Make you a bear.
Make you a bear.
You can be Bat Bear. You want to be the voice of Bat Bear? You're
Holy
in.
Holy shit, would that be great.
That would be a fucking terrifying Bat Bear.
No, that'd be a perfect
there
Bat
Bear. There
goes
our explicit
Take
rating,
it
back. But... So anyway, Kissifer, while we think about Bobby as Bat Bear, Kissifer was an American animated children's TV series which aired on NBC in the 1980s, created by Phil Mendez for Deke Animation City. The series was based on a 1985 half-hour primetime NBC special called Kissifer, Bear Roots, and was followed by three more specials, The Birds and the Bears, The Lady is a Chump, and We Are the Swamp. Those sound much funnier when I actually have to like say them out loud rather than just reading them. The show debuted in 1986 after those specials aired. Then it was turned into a regular animated series. It ran for two seasons, totaling 26 episodes on NBC as well as numerous international networks, and it was on and off the air until 1990. A couple of fun facts. One that we mentioned before, Phil Mendez created this series. He also created the 80s animated series Foofer, which I didn't dig into too much, but we'll probably cover it on a future episode here.
I feel like somebody's going to call and tell us that we need to watch Foofer.
It's probably the guy who mentioned it in the it's probably Reverend Johnny Blumpkin mentioned it in the Twitter comments. Now we got to cover Foofer.
Our lawyers are furious.
They are furious, but they're still getting paid, so they're fine. He also recently, this is Phil Mendez, not Reverend Johnny Blumpkin, worked as a storyboard artist on Pinky Malinky as of this year. So that's kind of cool that he's still active after all these years. Also on a voice casting front, the late Ed Gilbert, who played a ton of roles over the year, but in this one he plays Gus, the father, opposite R.J. Williams, who played Kissifer, his son. 4 years after this series, they would go on to play another famous father-son sort of combination on Disney's Tailspin as Baloo and Kit. So yeah. I don't know if it was just me, but it was weird hearing these two bears talk to each other. And in the back of my head, I'm like, that sounds like Baloo and Kit, because it was.
That was definitely not weird at all, because that's 100% the same vibe that I got from this as well. So yeah. Very cool to see that, you know, this relationship and sort of the same bear relationship.
Necessities. You could say it. It's fine. It's God. Right there.
Yeah.
It's right there. I mean, they pulled a lot from Disney in this show, so you might as well steal from them too.
Yeah. It's great to see them in something that's so beloved like Tailspin was for, you know, for Disney Afternoon. So we are now going to get into our review of Kissy Fur. And much like the Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, we are going to talk about the good, the bad, and then instead of the ugly, we're going to talk about the LOL, because we don't want to insult the creators, the animators, anybody who worked on this show in any way, shape, or form. We want to do a nice little compliment sandwich in terms of what we're putting together for everybody as a part of this review, because a lot of people spend a lot of time and a lot of effort in putting these things together, and I want to think that people sometimes have the best intentions when they enter into these projects. Do they sometimes come off with a flawless execution? Of course not. But hey, that's why this podcast exists.
So it's the only reason.
It's the only reason this podcast exists. So we're going to get into the good. So Dave, I'd love to know, what did you think was good about Kissy Fur? What did you like?
Sure. So like we mentioned before, there were four specials that were on TV for Kissy Fur. And they were each maybe, you know, 20, 25 minutes long, the standard kind of half hour primetime special. There were four of them, kind of every couple of months, between 1985 and 1986. So I watched four of them. I believe Sean watched a good chunk of them, too. We did not get to the regular animated series itself. That was a little harder to find, but the specials, they're out there. Sometimes they're in Dutch, if you want to watch that. The stuff that I loved, we always used to talk about, like, the intro to start. I really liked the kind of musical, dialogue-free intro. It just showed all the animals. You didn't have any real context for them other than, it's a bunch of animals kind of in this swamp forest land, and they're just having a good time. It actually looked like a lot of fun. It looked like me and my friends as kids at like the local pool or like down by the riverside, just like playing around. There's a lot of like swimming, a lot of swinging on like rope swings, jumping into the river, a lot of riding around on the paddle boat kind of thing. You got to see all the different animals, all the animal pairings. There were cubs and adults. So if there were like warthogs, they would have a little one. It was almost like watching Looney Tunes and then Tiny Toons, but having them all together on the same screen. So it was kind of cute that it was like a community unit, like a cartoon community. But it also gave you this old school sense of adventure cartoons that take place in nature. Like it made me think of David the Gnome. It reminded me of like being out in the forest, being with kind of like magical creatures or animals, and just kind of watching what they do in their daily lives, almost like a slice of life animated series. And that was kind of nice because you don't really see that these days. Everything these days has to revolve around like villains trying to kill people or like murder plots or whatever. Even in like kids cartoons, like we can't get away from that. Whereas this kind of stuff, I guess it's kind of the same because gators were trying to eat the kids the whole time.
I'm grimacing. I mean, it's 100% the same.
It's the same thing, but it was cute. So it was fun.
I definitely appreciated the theme song as well.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it's a story-oriented theme song, kind of giving you a lot of context to lead into the story.
And you know who the theme song was by?
No.
Saban and Levy.
I did know that.
Our
damn
old
it.
Buds.
Yeah. Old we actually, buds. We had a lot of people just in terms of the production behind the scenes with NBC, with Deke. We've talked about a lot of Deke animation cartoons over the past 5 years, and Saban Levy, Saban International, doing the theme song for this. So, you know, this is set up with three major production companies at that time. This has every reason to be successful.
And I will say, like, the animation in that first special, even though we watched, so Sean and I, the only cut we were able to watch was a pull from a VHS tape back in the day. And this is part of my LOL, so I don't want to get into it yet, but.
Got it.
It was a VHS tape from back in the day, and even that terrible quality, like video quality, the animation quality is still shown through. You could see like attention to detail. You could see that they really took the time, or at least it looks like they did, to pay attention to the emotions on the characters' faces and how they moved and how they reacted within a scene. And we had multiple different scenes to kind of set this thing up. It felt like almost like a TV movie. Now, I will say that on the bad side of things, that animation quality definitely slips from special to special. The first one is probably the best. The other ones, they cut some corners here and there, and they kind of pulled back on the artistry to an extent, and just it became more cartoony, a little more two-dimensional. But the first one had some really solid stuff.
I'm going to jump back to the theme song and just say, sure. I definitely felt like there was a nice little bit of country twang.
Yeah, yeah.
You're kind of led in with something that I'll talk about a little bit later on, you know, kind of like the first couple notes, but then it kind of progressively moves into that fun country twang, where, as you mentioned, you see everybody playing and having fun, you know, jovial kids, Norman Rockwell, you know, slice of Americana if everybody was bears. Or, you know, different swamp woodland creatures that hung out together.
Yeah, swamp creatures. That's the thing. Like, what's kind of fun about it is, like, all these animals wouldn't normally necessarily coexist with each other. A, because they're not normally in the exact same environments, or B, because they would eat each other.
Right.
But it's fun because it's obviously a cartoon. It doesn't get too magical with that way of thinking. There's, like, one scene where Kisifer, the main bear cub that the show is named after, he kind of, like, it's a real quick scene in that first special. He, like, chases a butterfly that has, like, a rainbow trailing out from behind it. Yeah. And then he kind of changes colors, too, as they do that. But that's about as trippy as this show gets. It doesn't really get into any real magical stuff or anything much crazier than that. But it was still a nice little touch to show that this was kind of, like, a fantastical environment, even though it was a very natural setting.
I want to say my favorite thing from this was the voice acting.
Oh,
I thought
great.
The voice acting was fantastic, and we have a lot of notable voice actors that are in this show. We have Frank Welker, we have Neil Ross, and I know that we mentioned Ed Gilbert, and, you know, obviously moving on to then do Baloo in Tailspin. I want to take 2 seconds and just read the other cartoons that he's been in that we have discussed on this show.
Right.
He was Dormammu in Spider-Man, the animated series from the 90s that was on Fox. He was Loot and Plunder from Captain Planet. He was Bodhi from Gargoyles. He was Sergeant Talon from SWAT Cats. Captain Walker DePlanc from James Bond Jr. Major Disaster from Toxic Crusader. He was 3030 from Brave Star.
Oh, no.
Hacker from Centurions. He was in Inhumanoids. God. Real Ghostbusters, Animaniacs, Goof Troop, Ah Real Monsters, Freakazoid, Road Rovers, Gummy Bears. This guy's cartoon royalty, in my opinion. He's been in so many things. He was Blitzwing in the Transformers movie.
Yep.
I mean, this guy was in just about everything that I feel shaped my childhood and that we've had an opportunity to discuss on this show. So the voice acting just through and through was just 100% phenomenal.
It was great, too. And I think part of that, or part of my, like, good section of the review relates to that. I love the relationship between, I almost said Baloo, between Gus and Kisifer.
Yes.
Right? Or Baloo and Kit, however, because it's the same relationship.
Right.
It's a papa bear and, like, a little cub. And it was great. Like, they really do a decent job with a lot of the writing in this cartoon where these two, this father and son, they go through quite a bit.
Oh, boy.
There's some dark stuff that happens earlier, and I didn't think it was bad, but I don't know if I want to talk about it now or talk about it in the bad section, because it was a little dark. Do you want to talk about it now? Or do you think it's in the bad section?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the wholesome nature of this as well, but as you mentioned, you know, there's some tragedy that's in this. So let's dig into some of the bad stuff.
Sure. So this whole thing starts off, you're introduced to Gus and Kisifer in the circus. So they're already circus bears. Now, granted, if you're watching this in 1985 and you're a kid, you might just be like, cool, bears in the circus. I saw that one time and I loved it and it was great. Watching it now, you're kind of just like, ooh, these bears are probably like, they're held against their will and they're in really shitty conditions and they're not really treated all that well. Yeah.
Well, the entire introduction, as you mentioned, for, you know, shitty conditions, is them inside of a trailer, one of those exposed outdoor trailers.
Like Dumbo.
And you can see tears in both of their eyes. And
why?
And why? Like, at no point would I have thought to myself, oh, they're in great conditions. I love animals. I would have been like, why are those bears crying?
Well, but why they're so upset, it's not just because of the conditions and not just because of the carnival, whatever, ringleader, barker, I don't know what you would call them, the owner.
Right.
They ship their mother away.
Right.
They ship the wife and the mother away. And we don't know why.
Why?
We think it's, I think it's a Dumbo situation where she probably, like, hauled off and, like, I don't know, swipe the kid with her paw or something. Who knows? But
you're making this darker.
I'm making it darker. They don't tell you why. They just tell you that the mother was shipped away, but she's like in a crate and they just drag her off somewhere and you never even see her. So then the rest of the series, it deals with kind of this fallout from the father and son. Like, eventually they get away from the circus and they go off on their own. And then everything's rosy. Like, everything's fine. Except they're still dealing with the fact that the mother and the wife is not there. And that kind of, it doesn't hang over the rest of the series, but they don't forget about it. They keep coming back, and it's like an emotional touchstone that those two come back to.
Right.
Which was nice.
Yeah. It's interesting to see that level of maturity in a cartoon. And I would say when this would have come out, if I would have watched it when it was on, I would have completely missed that. So to see that now as an adult, obviously very different comparison, very different filter.
They even do stuff like, I don't know if you watched this this special, and I don't honestly remember which one it was, but there's a moment where Kisifer and all his friends at the school are making Mother's Day cards. And, I mean, Kisifer, he like looks at the teacher and he's like, well, he's like, I don't have a mother. And then one of his jerk friends is like, well, I guess you don't need this card then. And he like takes it from him, which of course starts a fight. But the whole point was at the end of that special, they come back to it and Kisifer makes that Mother's Day card for his dad. Because his dad has been doing, you know, all the quote-unquote domestic chores. He's been cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kid, doing all the other stuff outside of the house, taking care of the community as well. So Kisifer comes home to Gus, and he's like, I want you to have this because you're my mom and my dad. And then they have this really nice moment where they tuck the card in, like, the picture of their mom, like, in the frame of the picture of their mom. And they're just like, she would have been so proud of you or whatever. And then Gus is just like, oh, Kisifer, in his like Baloo voice, like he does. And it was really sweet. Like, even though 90% of that episode is running away from gators and like trying to be cool or like all this crazy stuff, that was like a really sweet and touching moment. And that's kind of the cultural, like that's kind of the emotional heart of the story here. Right. Everything around that is cartoony, but that is strong throughout.
So do you want to get into some bad?
Let me see if I've got anything left from the good. I like the gators. The gators are our kind of primary antagonists here, and they do pose an actual threat of like wanting to eat pretty much everybody in the swamp.
Yeah.
But when this giant bear shows up, he kind of just, he handles it, you know? He's the new like alpha in the place. And we can argue over whether that's good or bad and how they treat that, but he kind of reestablishes the pecking order, right? So all these animals had been afraid of the gators, these kind of goofy, southern, a little bit tropey gators beforehand. But now that he's there, now they become kind of like, they're a little more goofy. You know that they're going to get their asses handed to them each and every episode. So you're just kind of waiting to see how and how that plays out. And did you like their design? Did you like how they played off each other?
I did. Floyd and Jolene are the two dim-witted gators that we have. And really the best way to kind of differentiate them is to understand that Jolene is always wearing a red wig.
Right. But they have fun with that too, because they use it as a prop gag. Yeah.
It's very silly to see a gator who just randomly has a red wig and then is in the middle of a chase scene and then will like that cartoon antics where like you sort of see them run faster than the hairpiece and then like reach back and grab it. And then pull it back on. So
cartoon physics with the hair wig was a lot of fun.
Exactly.
So there's some LOLs from that too, which I'm going to save for our next section here.
I agree.
I think that's about it for the good. There's a lot of good stuff here. I don't have too much bad.
Right. I don't have a lot of bad either.
Yeah.
I will say I'm going to go back to the theme song. And I know that I kind of hinted at the idea that there is sort of this weird off-key carnival music that's very disturbing that kind of leads in.
Yeah.
It's not there for very long, you know, but it's weird because then the tone immediately changes to a 180 of this, you know, this country twang that really does slap. And so it doesn't, for me, it was kind of one of those things where there were two different ideas in this theme song, and I wish that they would have just kind of stuck with one in order to move forward and make something that felt like it was complete. My only other problem with the theme song is that I mentioned that it's very story-driven in nature, but if you blink, you miss that whole story. I had to watch this theme song a couple times just to actually see what the theme song was, and I started watching this at the second special. So I didn't watch it at the first special, so I didn't have that context. And so you have to think about if you were a kid and you were dropping in for an episode and maybe you didn't have all that context or you hadn't watched that special or it's the 80s and that special's never going to air again or somebody hopefully has a VHS rip of it. You know, you might not have that information. And so it's one of those things where I felt like maybe a little narration or a little bit of something else would have been helpful to kind of provide that context. But It's not a deal breaker for me.
I would say that's hard because, I mean, I did watch the first special from the beginning, so I saw the backstory that's kind of then condensed in the intro sequence. So right. The intro sequence, and it actually reminds me of Smurfs. If you go back and watch the Smurfs intro and listen to that music, it starts with kind of this like dark imagery and atonal music, and then it enters the camera, like literally enters into like the valley of the Smurfs, and everything's right. Bright and everything's happy and la 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 la, and everything's like beautiful. I feel like it probably pulled from that, where they wanted to start kind of dark and then brighten everything up and be like, everything's fine, everything's okay.
Yeah.
But the story part of it is the way that the bears escape from the circus is through a horrific train crash.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of one of my only knocks on the show is, like, might have been a little too dark for the age that they were aiming for, because you start with tearing a mother away from her family, and then you force animals to perform tricks that they're not really able to do in the circus, like high wire acts and like bouncing on a ball and whatever. So there's some precarious stuff to begin with, and then you follow that with like dark and stormy night with kind of really heavily shadowed human characters who are kind of villainous, even though they don't directly do anything to the animals. But then there's this horrific train crash where I'm like, if physics were real, and everybody would have died.
Everybody is dead.
They go over a chasm, bridge breaks, they go down into it. Like, they dress it up a bit, and they have the zebras and the camels talking to the bears like, is everybody okay? But I'm like, y'all would have been dead.
But this was like M. Night Shyamalan Unbreakable style train wreck, where Bruce Willis is the only one walking away from it.
Yeah, and that's basically Gus and Kissifer. And then it gets even darker, because then they're kind of like, if you're following along with the story, they've been essentially enslaved. They've lost their mother. They've now run away from their master. They've broken free of their chains, and now they are free, but they have to sort of come to grips with their freedom. And for Gus, that's fine, because he probably is used to like being out and being in the wild, and he's very capable. He's used to being on his own. Kissifer's like terrified because he doesn't know any different. He doesn't know how to be out in the wild. There's a moment where Gus literally says, like, you're forgetting one important point, our freedom. Nobody cracking the whip and telling us what to do. And I'm like, a little heavy-handed with the slavery allegory here, guys, for like a cartoon about animals playing in the swamp. Luckily, they don't stick on that too long. They say it and they move on, and then everything's rosy from there on out. But it was a little much for me.
Is this around the time where they make the challenging conversation where they've escaped from the train and Kissifer is like, I'm cold? And he's like, well, Gus is like, you're going to have to cuddle in with me. And Kissifer is like, but I'm hungry. And he's like, you're going to have to wait until tomorrow, like, for us to scrounge out some food. And it's like, well, there's always, and this is what leads into that conversation, but there was always food at the circus.
Right, right, right. That comfort, like, that he was used to from home, quote unquote home.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a bit much.
It's a tough watch. Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. This is like a G-rated, like, kids cartoon. Like, maybe ease up on the slavery allegory a little bit.
Yeah.
But what was cute, and they did lighten that up a little bit, was every cartoon character with, like, cartoon animals, they always have, like, the same clothes on pretty much the entire run of the series. So you actually get to see where they got their clothes from in this moment, which was kind of cute. They, like, cracked open a trunk that had, like, spilled out from the horrific train crash where everyone else died. And they just he puts like a little shirt on him.
Yeah. And the red and yellow shirt puts it on Kissifer, and he's like, yeah, you're warm.
Like a shirt tail. They're like, there you go.
you're dying to review shirt tails, aren't you?
No, so that's my other, like, quote unquote bad point from the show, is a lot of the designs look like they just ported them over from Disney, from Warner Brothers, things like shirt tails. They don't have quite as much character or kind of like a signature look to them. They didn't really differentiate them enough to be like, if you just saw this picture, like most of the people in our Twitter thread, like, if you just saw this picture, you would have no idea, unless you were like a diehard fan of this show, like, oh yeah, that's Deke Entertainment and that's Kissifer. Like, you could be, I don't know, it looks kind of like Jungle Book. It looks kind of like Shirt Tales. It looks kind of like, you know, all these different Disney, or it looks kind of like Tiny Toons or Merry Melodies or some kind of knockoff of that. So wasn't enough kind of like, the animation's great, but not enough signature or style for me to really separate it as something that would stand out from the pack.
Understood. I'll say for me, I think the final thing for me that I didn't like, that I'm going to lump under the bad, is that I think that a lot of the messaging or lessons learned from this didn't age well.
So what specifically?
So there was the episode that they have specifically, the, was it the birds and the bears?
Yeah. Second special. Yeah.
You know, the second special kind of addressing a lot of machismo and kind of, you know, starstruck young boys hunting after a particular love interest that they have named Donna,
the cool girl
who comes from Yellowstone, where all the best bears are.
That's right.
And so there's a lot of challenges to kind of those interactions and just how, you know, I think the message for me sort of got lost, you know, when they were kind of going in this, because, you know, when things get bad in this, or when things kind of take an interesting or a different story change, and they have the opportunity to kind of address and talk about it, they're just like, nope, we're going to double down real hard on this, and we're going to steal a water taxi and kind of go in that direction. So there were just some things in terms of how that message was conveyed and sort of what they were doing. I don't know. I just don't think it aged well. I'm sure that if people were watching it in the 80s, we wouldn't be having, you know, serious discussions about these particular topics in the way that we have right now.
Right.
But for me watching it, there were definitely some moments where I kind of did that like grimace back and forth with some of those key issues that they had.
I think that kind of landed more in my LOLs to me, because it was so like bad and cheesy and just kind of ham-fisted to the point that it's just kind of like, ugh, like I see what you were trying to do. The execution was a little lacking. But I get that it was a product of the time, right? So we have this new, we can get into our LOLs now. So in that particular special, which follows up on a really decent first special where you establish all the characters, you know, get everybody together in the community, they deal with a problem, and they move on to the next thing. That next special then kind of takes a bit of a left turn, because one of the cubs comes up and she gives Kissifer a cupcake. And basically she's just kind of like, I like you and I want you to have this cupcake. So of course all his friends are going to make fun of him because they're 8 years old or whatever it is. But then out of nowhere, this like punk rock chick not wearing any clothes, she doesn't give a shit. She comes out of nowhere from Yellowstone, and all the guys are very like if it was an anime, they would have had their like blood coming out of their nose and they would have rocketed off into space. Like that's how they like react to this punk rock girl showing
up. But in this instance, they just have unbelievable stars in their eyes.
Yeah,
and they are
cartoon
fawning
stars
over her.
Very Looney
Tunes-y. Incessantly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the wolf whistle almost, with like the tongue lolling out. Not quite that bad because it's a kid's cartoon, but pretty close.
Right. Pretty close.
It was just, the whole thing was just very silly. And like Sean just mentioned, it did not age well, especially because they try to be cool by like becoming increasingly more punk and as like little cute bear cubs and
little
porcupines and stuff.
Let's be very clear. They try to be cool by putting on vests.
They
Everybody
did put
on puts
vests
on vests
and triangle sunglasses.
And triangle sunglasses, and they're like, we're cool now.
We're cool now. I dunked my head in the river and came up and messed my hair up, so I'm cool now.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's like the whole point, is just dress like you have an attitude, put on sunglasses and accessories like you have an attitude.
It was of the time, though. You know?
Sure.
I think,
sure.
What was it, Bebop? I think Bebop from Ninja Turtles had those same sunglasses.
Those like pink, like the kind
pink,
of
pink, like
Buddy Holly sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was, to me, that was an LOL because it was just so clumsily done. But I could see how it's also kind of like, ugh, maybe not the best.
Yeah. It just didn't hit for me.
You know who was the best?
Who?
Noel.
Let's get into Noel.
The best.
Noel's not a character actually in Kissifer.
No.
But as David mentioned, the first special that we watched was a rip from a VHS, which Noel leads in with some gems and some wisdom.
Because it's a quote, just for kids, end quote, tape. So right. Just for Kids was the brand where it was. I kind of liked that back in the day because it was kind of like, this is cool. This is special. This is just for me. I'm a kid. I'm not a stupid adult. They don't get to watch this stuff. Right. I do. So you get some Just for Kids stuff. But I don't remember this. Noel's at the beginning and he's like, hey, I'm Noel. I hope you enjoy this Just for Kids movie. But just in case, you might have some issues with your tracking. So here's how you can adjust your tracking. And they crack open the VCR and they're like, use this little button here. And they're like, if you're stupid and you're a kid and you don't know what tracking is, go get an adult. Okay, bye.
Noel, you are a true hero.
What a product of the times.
Sometimes heroes don't wear capes, but Noel is the best.
And he went on to grow up and become one of the lead singers of Oasis. Amazing.
Oh, God. Yikes.
Noel didn't show up again for me. That was the only time I got to see him, which was funny because you would not have seen that on TV. You would only have seen that if you watched the VHS tape. Or if you happened upon that YouTube video.
and the best thing is that these are only problems that are specific to the 80s and a majority of the 90s.
Exactly. So. And people, like, probably a good amount of people listening to us are like, yeah, tracking on a VCR. I know what that is. But there's probably a good chunk that are just like, what's a VCR? What's tracking? What's a VHS? What's Just for Kids? What's Noel? All that stuff. What's Oasis? What's Oasis? Any other LOL stuff for you? I have a lot of just like little things that don't really like add up to anything. They're just visual gags that I thought were pretty funny.
Yeah. It's the LOL line for me. Again, it was like another real horny moment after they meet Donna, this bear.
Yeah.
And all of these boys are standing around. And again, this goes along Dave's line of it's bad, but it's so funny and of the times. And I can relate to this having, you know, been a kid in the 80s where all of a sudden, like, they're fawning over this woman, this female that's in here. And then they all just like look at each other and they're just like, I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, I was like, what are you doing, kids?
What are you doing, guys?
Luckily, they cut exactly to them just like trying to like rush home and dress themselves up to like impress Donna and not anything else.
It could have turned. It could have turned into a real pervy moment.
And I've been real bad.
And it's, and just the way that it was put together and it's assembled and delivered. Yep. I was like, oh dear. No. But it just made me cackle out loud because I was like, funny. What a dumb thing to put in.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you know that it's obviously adults animating this stuff. So sometimes, so they don't go completely insane making all this kids stuff, they will put jokes and stuff in there like that. So kind of funny. One thing that wasn't pervy, I liked the world design overall. I kind of, it was small, you know, they didn't really define too many different areas. It was kind of swamp-ish. It was more like a river in a forest than a swamp, really.
Right, right.
That was fine. Like, I don't know why they called it a swamp when it wasn't really a swamp, just because they wanted gators. But one of the things that was absolutely insane is their classroom. Did you notice their classroom?
Yeah. It's like in the middle of like a tree.
it's in a tree trunk, but it's a tree trunk that has been like 5/6 of the way cut by a chainsaw, essentially. So it's like they hollowed out one section of the tree so that the kids can have their like classroom in a tree that's probably about to collapse and crush them all. And the teacher lives in the roots of the tree too, which I thought was hilarious. This tree's going to come down and just ruin this entire show at some point.
Well, you mentioned that it could have been a chainsaw. I'm going to contend and throw out that it was from one of my biggest LOLs regarding a character, which was Toot.
Toot.
Loved Toot. Toot is he's a little beaver that they have that's in there. He is stupid cute, just as this little six-year-old beaver that he has that is like running around. I don't know what it is about him, but he just had so many innocent lines. Like when
he's very innocent.
I think he's younger than the rest of them. It's sort of that age.
You can tell because when they all go gaga over Donna, the sexy punk bear from Yellowstone, who doesn't wear any clothes. They all go nuts and he comes up and he's like, hey guys, who wants to go take a swim or whatever? And they're like, no, we got to go we got to go see Donna. And he's like, what? Like, I don't understand. So it was kind of cute that they put that like younger kid in that didn't quite fit with the rest of the other kids who were kind of growing up and like learning that like, hey, this chick's like attractive and there's something going on here. He was just like, I'm a kid and I'm a beaver and I want to play games. So he was kind of cute. He has a great moment later on.
Oh,
look ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, he has a great hero moment later on where he's able to help Gus get out of quicksand, which again, quicksand.
Yeah.
Who knew that was going to be a thing that I had to get worried about in life? But
in a swamp.
Again, all the times that we think that quicksand would have been more prevalent in our adult life, this kid shit in cartoons is why we all think this way.
Yeah.
We're like, oh my God, yeah, of course, if I go to a swamp, I'm going to fall in quicksand at some point.
I would love like an adult, not adult cartoon, but like a BoJack Horseman kind of thing, where just like there are people just walking around and then all of a sudden they're in quicksand. And it's like, somebody's got to save them. It's quicksand everywhere. I don't care if it's in the middle of the street in the city or what, but there's quicksand everywhere, according to kids' cartoons.
That sounds anxiety-inducing.
Yeah.
I'd still probably watch the shit out of
it. I love it. I'd still watch that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Two has a great moment later on, though, too. So he does get to rescue Gus. I do like that it wasn't just the same. It wasn't Gus rescuing people every episode.
Right.
Sometimes he was in trouble. Sometimes the kids were in trouble. Sometimes the adults were in trouble. And everybody else kind of had to take turns pairing up, working together to save each other. I thought that was really nice. Toot has a great moment later on when there's a special. We're gonna get to this as quickly as possible. One of the gators dresses up as a bear and a nanny bear, essentially,
okay,
to kind of infiltrate the Gus's house and to steal all the cubs. Long story short, it works. But then the cubs kind of break out and they get to run away from the gators. And there's this really goofy, really funny kind of chase sequence where a bunch of random stuff happens. Like one of the gators goes to grab Stucky, who's the little porcupine cub. And obviously you don't grab a porcupine because you're going to get your hand shredded, which was pretty funny. But then Toot gets snatched by one of the gators and he grabs the wig off of Jolene's head and throws it in the cauldron of soup that they're heating up on the fire. So of course she loses it. It's like, my wig! Like, dives for the wig, grabs it out of the boiling water, and then puts it on her head. And for, like, a split second, she's like, ah, my wig. But then, of course, it's, like, now boiling her brains kind of inside. So she goes off running around like cartoon. It was a very, very good kind of, like, cartoon chase. But Toot had a really good moment there, too.
It's a good gag.
It's a good gag there, Toots.
Good gag.
Good job, Toots.
Yeah.
Any other LOLs?
I don't think I have any other LOLs.
I think I've only got maybe one more. The cartoon physics in this were a little bonkers. As it gets going, at one point, both the gators in one episode have a boulder fall on them, a log fall on them. They fall out of a giant tree, and it also crushes them beneath said fallen tree, and they're fine. They're totally fine. They should have been gator paced at that point. The only time we really get to hear Frank Welker is the very end of the fourth special, I believe. Which is, it deals with a drought and how they respond to a drought, which is not good, let's say it that way. And he just comes up and he's like, it's going to rain, and that's it. He's in a little old turtle man and it rains. Yeah.
Uncle Shelby, he's the elder wise turtle of the swamp.
And you probably see him more in the regular series after these specials set everything up. But for us, we only got to see him say, it's going to rain. And that was it. And that's it for me.
Yeah, well, turns out we have our opinions, and before we get to our final say on this, turns out that, yeah, you listening right now, you guys on the internet, turns out you have some opinions as well.
Oh, boy, do you.
And they're fantastic. And so we're going to jump over to IMDb, and we are going to let Bobby Anthem loose again, and he is going to give us a user review that we found that ties in perfectly to everything that we've talked about on this show so far. Bobby, take it away.
This is a viewer review titled, This Was My Favorite TV Show After He-Man, written by Jaws on May 10th, 1999. Jaws said, man, I loved this show as a kid. He-Man was always my favorite, but this show became my favorite after He-Man went off. I wish they would show reruns of He-Man and Kissy Fur.
Gonna be honest with you, Dave. I never thought that I would say Kissy Fur, He-Man need to be tied together in my brain, but now maybe they are.
This is like, it's a perfect storm, like the worst perfect storm, but a perfect storm nonetheless. We had people on Twitter that like just randomly picked up this book today, the day that we're recording this podcast after 30 years, 30 plus 35 years. And then we have the random IMDb reviewer who's like, he loves He-Man and Kissifer. And we talked about both today. So I don't know. It's weird.
It's perfect.
We're going to buy lottery tickets when we wrap this show up. And maybe the next time you hear us, we'll be on a yacht somewhere. Making 30%.
Just a podcast yacht. Perfect.
Just see, it's a yacht cast. Guys, tune in next week for the yacht cast.
Dave, we're now at the point where we have our reviews. You can say you recommend it. Tell us why. You can say you don't recommend something, and you can tell us why you don't want to recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't recommend something, you can go one step further, and you can say, I want to put Kissifer in the dip,
which is
the dip from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which erases it for the purpose of this show from the annals of cartoon history. And you can completely get rid of that entire swamp, all them bears, all those small animal cubs.
So you're not saying I'm literally just dunking a cute, tiny, big-eyed bear cub in a bottle of acid. I'm literally dunking the entirety of the swamp creatures.
Yeah, it's everything. It's everything related to that cartoon. Ooh, we have dipped several cartoons that we don't talk about anymore.
They never existed. Well, I'm not going to dip this one. Going to dip this one.
Okay.
I actually do recommend this. Now, it's a very like fine spectrum of people I recommend it to. I would say if you're of a certain age and you have young kids at home of a certain age and you're tired of watching the same old stuff on Netflix or whatever is whatever parents watch with their kids these days, watch this. Go grab it off YouTube. Watch these specials. You can find them. Careful with some of the sites and the links that you click out there, though. You don't want your kids. Make sure to vet those links before you let your kids watch them.
Are you talking about the one that I clicked on that just had naked anime women that were on? That was
quite,
on it?
It's quite possible. Yeah, I mean, that's 100%. If you want to have the birds and the bears talk with the kids when they're five, you can do that, I guess. Yeah. I'm not a parent or a psychologist, so I don't know.
And
what
I'm not
going to
tell you how to parent.
Yeah, exactly. You do you. Poor kids. Anyway, but these are, like, if you can find just the shows themselves and all of that hoopla around it, they're still, I think, good, entertaining, G-rated, kind of easy to watch shows for parents and kids. There's enough stuff going on to keep you engaged. The colors are great. The animation's fun. The characters are really compelling, and there's really good kind of like emotional core relationships at the heart of this thing. The friendships and stuff are kind of very typical kid friend relationships where they rag each other. They, you know, come around at the end of the day and they're friends again. They fight and they come back and they're still friends. So it's just solid stuff. If you're looking for like a show to watch with young kids, that sounded weird. This is a good one to watch.
I agree with you as well. I'm going to recommend this. I think maybe the word you were looking for, Dave, is wholesome.
Wholesome's,
I think
that
good. This is a very wholesome cartoon.
It is.
I think that the voice acting for me is second to none. It's top notch. The voice acting for this one is really top notch. I love a lot of the different voice actors that we had that have on this have been in other notable cartoons. It's great to see this relationship. Is this maybe the predecessor or the prequel to Tailspin? Who knows? I don't know either. I'm assuredly it's not. But I love kind of seeing that father-son relationship that they have between Gus as well as also Kissifer.
Yeah.
I you know, for some of the problems in terms of the aging for everything that's there, it's still kind of very interesting to see kind of what socially we were talking about and what was in cartoons that we were showing kids during that time.
I would say, and it just dawned on me, but we never talked about the kid's name, Kissy Fur. Like, that's a weird name.
It's a very weird name.
They don't really explain it, except they do have a very like healthy emotional relationship. Everybody's always hugging and stuff. So who knows, maybe the mom named him, but I was just kind of like, Kissy Fur, that's a weird name.
I you know what, I'll say this, I actually am going to recommend it for the fact that it is named Kissifer. Okay. It's a unique name. I've never heard Kissifer in anything else. I'll actually say this. It's a fun name to say.
It's a fun name to
it's
say.
It's a fun and name to say.
It's a better name for your kid to say than the Maynard band Pussifer. So you can say Kissifer. Don't confuse it with Pussifer.
I don't think anybody is.
Well, except me. There's one. Oh, there's always one in every group, and it's always me.
Oh, Dave, it's all right, buddy. I'm going to say from Ben, and your notes about saying that this is fun and this is a part of your childhood. Hey, Ben, sounds like you had a great childhood, buddy.
You did, Ben.
This is definitely very fun, and we're glad that we could kind of dip back into this and get to know and understand a little bit more about Kissifer.
Thanks for letting us be a part of it. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we're at the end of the show. You heard him on this episode. You heard him twice on this episode. Our friend Bobby Anthem. You can hear him on his paranormal podcast, Inhuman Experience, with his co-host Bobby Blades. You can find them on Twitter at @IEXP_podcast. And Bobby has a solo show that is called In Search of My Lost Soul, which is available now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and just about anywhere else. I keep saying this. It's a damn amazing show. Give it a listen if you love Bobby's voice. And if you don't, I don't know, he's on every episode, so why are you listening to the show in the first place? Because we're going to continue to have him on because he's the best.
And our voices are trash.
I know exactly what I sound like. It's the worst. So if you made it this far, thank you. As for Dave, what do you got going on, buddy?
Well, as always, you can find me over on Collider.com. You can find me on Twitter at DrClawMD. And you can check out my new book, The Science of Breaking Bad, from MIT Press, available on Amazon and pretty much everywhere else books are sold. If you need me to know what books are, hit me up on Twitter.
What if, how do I adjust the tracking on the book?
You got to ask an adult.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
As for me, I perform live improv comedy with a group that's called Nox. That's NOX exclamation point. We perform with Washington Improv Theater. You can find tickets and times witdc.org. And you can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sean Paul Ellis. Hey, would you like to support this show? Yeah, you could be a Patreon. Go again to any of our social media sites. Check out our Linktree link that is in all of those bios. You can become a Patreon patron. Thank you so much. You can also just simply tell a friend and review us on Apple iTunes. We super appreciate that. As always, you can contact us by sliding into our DMs like Pete Rose on Twitter at Morning Tunes. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook at Saturday Morning Cartoons. Drop us an old-fashioned email. We really do love them, and we've gotten a bunch of them from you, and we've responded back to, I think, all of them at this point. SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. You can find all of these links that we have mentioned in the link tree that is in the bio for all of our social media sites. And as always, you can always listen to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. So thank you guys so much. And thank you to Ben for recommending Kiss It Fur. And we'll be back next week. Until then, thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening to Saturday Morning Cartoons. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to transform and roll out.